Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Yes, we're kicking off hour number three of tonight's edition of Free Talk Live.
We need more audience participation.
Live from New Hampshire, it's Saturday night.
And now the lawsuits.
Let's see if that works.
Oh, it's a parody.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
And I said New Hampshire, too, so not even close to James.
Well, I mean, the reason that radio stations wouldn't cover wouldn't carry parodies is because the radio station is definitely making money. So it's pretty easy at that point to be like, well, you're making money, you played this, the reason you're making money is because advertisers know you have an audience, therefore...
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what happened. There's at least one parody artist I'm familiar with that has published their parody under what's known as, it's not pastiche, it's a derivative work. Right, so this is what back in the day the rappers invented sampling.
Yeah,
they would sample a bit of a rock song and put it into their song, and then but make a whole new song around it. But they're using like the chorus of a popular
that little
rock
bitty
song
thing,
or whatever.
Not the same.
So they've called that derivative work, right? Okay. You're creating a new work, but you've derived it from pieces of another piece of work that already exists, and so they got to figure out how many micro pennies, right, royalties go to the author of the original work versus the author of the current work using the sample, etc., and so on. So I'm waiting to see what happens there. None of the independent distributors, so as an independent artist, I don't have label help, I don't have the backing of attorneys on a record label for this kind of a stuff. So as an independent artist, there are zero that I'm aware of. If you're aware of any, call 603-283-6160. But there are zero independent publishers who will allow you to just upload parody works and then take the risk that you're going to get sued. Now, most parody works aren't going to be so popular that it's going to have any financial impact against the original artist anyway, with the exception of, Weird Al, right? Because he's the biggest, most popular, and he's the only one that could maybe potentially have some financial impact. However, there's something known now as the Weird Al bump, right? And this is the opposite of that theory. So government would have you believe that if I write a parody song of some popular song, and I make fun of it and change the lyrics up a little bit, that me making that song is going to have a negative financial impact on the album sales or the airplay of the original artist. Right? The Weird Al bump, however, negates that or says, nope, not true, because whenever Weird Al does do a parody of somebody else's already successful pop song, that pop song and artist and album all increase in airplay and sales.
Mm-hmm.
So they are actually getting a benefit from Weird Al making a parody of their songs.
Yeah. The only reason why I like Miley Cyrus.
And I mean, if you think about it, that's obvious. I mean, of course.
Right.
So, if there's some little phrase, some little word that people have invented.
Under pressure.
So... if that word, that phrase, whatever, gets used, then it picks up, and then it gets more play,
right.
And then it becomes part of the language, maybe.
Right.
That's how communication works. Whereas, if you've got your little thing that, you and I, we know that this means this, but no one else ever picks it up, well, then it dies with us.
Right.
Right. That's how communication works. So, of course, there's going to be a bump for parodying the thing.
It makes sense to me.
But they need to financially benefit from it.
Right, they literally sell more albums
as a result
of the song that got parodied because of people going,
right,
that song's great.
So
Weird Al
makes fun of Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga's album sales increase as a result of Weird Al making his parody.
Right.
I get the concept, but what I'm saying is if it becomes part of the culture, it doesn't necessarily mean the artist gets paid more. The producers might get paid more. The label might get paid more. right?
Well, I don't know about how it's all divvied up, right? What I'm saying is that there is a Weird Al bump, and the Weird Al bump says that when he parodies somebody else's songs, that somebody else sees an increase in revenue.
Okay.
So what you're pointing out original is that, song. That increase in revenue might get sucked up before it gets back to the original creator.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Correct. Yes.
And that conflict has been, I'd say, within the industry, you are mostly right.
And that's because of IP law.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that you are mostly right, which is about as right as I have ever seen you be.
Mark one for Peakless.
But yeah, most of it does get sucked up by the record producer, the contractors, all that.
It's a little warm
but
over there.
some of it is there's a guy, man, I've never heard the song he's parodying. I love Weird Al. Gets totally into Lady Gaga. And then goes to a Lady Gaga show, and here's the crucial part, buys the merch once he gets there.
Okay.
Because that's where they make their money.
Right.
Before we go on, I want to tell everybody that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Are you tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? I know I am.
I am too.
You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. I mean, I know I like getting a coupon, man, you know. So, like, if I can go to Amazon and buy something for $20, but I can go to bitrefill.com, use my Dash, get something for $18, why wouldn't I, right?
Right.
It takes me two more seconds or minutes or whatever to, you know, do this transaction by a gift card. Why wouldn't I? What about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account, too, just in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's available in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And thank you, big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's dash.org. All right. So there's all sorts of hubbub and, you know, talkings about the CBDC and social credit scores and government ID and surveillance and all that kind of stuff.
By the way, a piece of good news that, I mean, bad news always travels faster, but may have gotten overlooked. Like, so you know how Zimbabwe was, like, right on board with the CBDC? Yeah, it turns out it didn't work.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was such an absolute fiasco that they have completely backed off.
That's interesting, considering
so,
we've got like $1 trillion Zimbabwe note on the board.
How much worse is that
CBDC thing worth?
Or not.
This from last-chance-4-eidas.org.
Reliable source.
Yeah, we'll post this in all of our social media. Before the show's over, or maybe when it's over. Last chance to fix EIDAS. Secret EU law threatens internet security. Over 500 cybersecurity experts, researchers, and NGOs sign an open letter sounding the alarm. This is dated November 2nd of 2023. After years of legislative process, the near final text of the EIDAS regulation has been agreed by trialogue negotiators representing EU's key bodies, and will be presented to the public and Parliament for a rubber stamp before the end of the year. New legislative articles introduced in recent closed-door meetings and not yet public envision that all web browsers distributed in Europe will be required to trust the certificate authorities and cryptographic keys selected by EU governments.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't Zimbabwe, it was Nigeria.
Oh, very well.
All right.
These changes in the EU radically expand the capability of EU governments to surveil their citizens by ensuring cryptographic keys under government control can be used to intercept encrypted web traffic across the EU.
So they're breaking encryption.
Any EU member state has the ability to designate cryptographic keys for distribution in web browsers, and browsers are forbidden from revoking trust in these keys without government permission.
Trust us. You must.
Yeah.
Or else.
You don't have any choice.
Yeah.
This enables the government of any EU member state to issue website certificates for interception and surveillance, which can be used against every EU citizen, even those not resident in or connected to the issuing member state.
So, okay, hold on real quick.
Yep.
If it's going to break encryption, even if they make it a law, what is the likelihood that they find browser makers or software developers compliant? You can't break encryption. You can't put a back door in for the government only.
So this is why they're issuing cryptographic keys to the government. So this is basically a permanent backdoor to any browsers issued in the EU.
But any permanent backdoor that's created will eventually be exploited by hackers.
Correct.
So you can't do it. Like, if they do this, then all encryption is broken forever, and I don't think you're going to get a lot of compliance.
Well, while you're that using, is exactly what's going to happen in the EU.
Right, while you're using browsers.
Well, do you think the browser makers are going to, like, comply or just
yes.
not distribute in the EU?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, I think that the big names are going to comply. Okay. Your Googles, your Microsofts, and a bunch of them will simply stop distributing in the EU.
You'll have more questions. There is no independent check or balance on the decisions made by member states with respect to the keys they authorize and use that they put them to. This is particularly troubling given that adherence to the rule of law has not been uniform across all member states.
There you go.
With documented instances of coercion by secret police for political purposes.
You must use Chrome.
So currently, at least according to this, the most danger that you could have is the state using this for their own surveillance purposes.
Which is why they're putting in a back door.
Right.
Yeah.
The text goes on to ban browsers from applying security checks to these EU keys and certificates, except those pre-approved by the EU's IT standards body known as ETSI, E-T-S-I. That's the European something standard body. The rigid structure would be problematic with any entity, but government-controlled standard bodies are especially susceptible to misaligned incentives in cryptography. ETSI in particular has both a concerning track record of producing compromised cryptographic standards and a working group dedicated entirely to developing interception technology. The introduction of this text so late in the legislative process and behind closed doors is also deeply concerning for democratic norms in Europe. Although the deal itself was publicly announced in late June, the announcement doesn't even mention website certificates, let alone these new provisions.
So it's just going to be mass non-compliance on the user level.
This has made it extremely difficult for civil society, academics, and the general public to scrutinize or even be aware of the laws the representatives have signed off in private meetings. So,
like how people in China break through the Great Firewall.
Right.
Right. Like if you're in the EU, you're either using Edge or something from Google or the Mozilla Foundation, right? But even Google's Chrome browser is, you know, a branch of a open source browser.
Yep.
So you just use the open source browser that doesn't have the back door in it, yep. and then, you know, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, so there's the question about this is, okay, so, and this has everything to do with our first story, right? So yeah, if a third or whatever of the people getting tickets went, no, then it would clog up their system to the point that they'd probably have to change something.
Sure.
In the same way, like, if enough people just say no to what they're attempting to do here, which what they are attempting to do, make no mistake, just as they have licensed everything else, they are attempting to make an internet license.
Yes.
And if enough people, like in China, when in order to get around the Great Firewall of China, use a virtual private network, then it doesn't work.
Right.
But if they get enough compliance, where 99% of the population is allowing them to have the internet informational superhighway driver's license,
yep.
the license to access information, the listener's license, if you will.
Right.
If 99% of the population does that, then no matter how much that 1% of the population fights against it, yeah, sure, they will still be able to have some access to information, and they will be perpetually terrorized by the governments.
Yeah, Britain already has the television license.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have a television in your house, you subscribe to cable, or even if you don't, it's just OTA. They put a thing, a device,
it's,
either...
It's what?
OTA, over the air.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, yes, I use an industry term. OTA, over the air. So, like, regular ass TV, right? Channel 4, Channel 8, right? You know, just whatever you get, you know, from your antenna, not from being plugged into a cable.
Oh, you mean the ones that they used to put over the radio waves?
Yeah. Yeah, those are the ones. So, at any rate, they already have a license, a television license, and they have... Television licensed police. They have vans that go around and sit in neighborhoods.
And look in people's windows.
And look in people's windows.
Is that not creepy?
See if there's a TV going on, and if they don't have a license on file for that address or that apartment number or whatever, they're going to come knock on your door. Maybe even do more than knock. Right? So it's not far-fetched for me to believe that something resembling that they would also attempt to put in for accessing the internet.
If it's on browser side, I don't know how effective a VPN would be. I said if it's on the browser, I don't know how effective a VPN would be. Because that information still has to get decrypted on the browser side, and if that's where the back door is...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly it. So if you end up with 99% of the population...
LRN.FM.
Twice!
You know,
gosh,
since it was going to get dumped, I may as well have done the second one.
I think you must don the pin of shame.
The pin of shame.
Put it in your beard or something.
Wear it
also,
permanently.
Should you ever cuss on the radio, don't follow it up with another cuss as a way of going, oops.
Just say oops.
You know, just try not to double cuss is really what I'm getting at.
Well, I was just making you do your job.
You did, and I did, and so hopefully it's done.
Wrong so, show, gentlemen. Wrong show.
Well, so, if 99% of the population uses whatever Google's browser is, and Google's browser has this backdoor in it, then you only have like 1% of the population using some other browser. They have the resources to keep perpetually going after that 1%, no matter how defiant they are.
Sure.
If, on the other hand, you have like 80% of the population going, I'm not going to use Google. I'm going to use Firefox or Brave or DuckDuckGo or whoever else is
the browser.
This particular add-on to their browser. Right. If like 4 out of 5 people do that and go, yeah, it's annoying that I sometimes have to switch browsers for a website to load, but it's worth it to not do this annoying crap.
Oh, I would never use the normal browser.
Well, and like, this will result, I believe, in a spawn of what I like to call parallel networks.
Okay.
Right? So everybody thinks that the internet is singular. Right, and to some extent, they're right. That's how it is currently designed, implemented, and treated. But it doesn't have to be. Did you know that networking more than one computer together with another one is also a form of internet?
Yes.
And if
LAN parties.
And right. And if you can create an alternative network to, quote, the internet, unquote, mesh networks, for example, in small neighborhoods that relay between neighborhoods, right? So they, you know, they end up being, it's basically nodes. It's a distributed network.
It won't matter if compliance is at browser level, though, because what are you going to use to access that network?
Well, it won't matter because they can't police that network. So
they're policing the browser. The back doors,
but that browser has to be on the internet, not the parallel internet.
Well, what are you? What software are you going to use to access the parallel internet?
A browser that does not contain any ability to track.
Okay, and then so again, you could just use that. That browser is more. Is more the solution,
right?
Than changing
it to browser, VPN, Tor, you know, all the privacy things that go along. You're just going to see an uptick in all that. You're going to see an increase in the black and gray markets for these types of softwares. You'll probably see encryption-based blockchain browsers and that kind of stuff.
Just like how I originally installed Netscape Navigator, it came on CD.
The article continues: outcry across academia, civil society, and industry. Over 500 cybersecurity experts and researchers from around the world have signed an open letter calling for the EU to abandon these plans and safeguard the web.
Yeah. Because once that backdoor is there, everything is broken. Like, everything is broken. Yep. A hacker will get it, and they will exploit it. Mm-hmm. You can't create an exploit like that and only give it to the politicians.
Well, and, of course, the biggest hacker is going to be the politicians and the police.
I do not care if that happens or not. Like, the politicians are the worst scum of humanity. And if they already have it, what difference does it make if a slightly smaller criminal also has this backdoor? Or if every criminal has this backdoor, and not just the worst, most child-molesting, murderous... Words I'm not allowed to say.
I was going to say, you're speaking of politicians again.
Yes, I am. Right, so if they already have the back door on this, they are the worst criminals. So what difference does it make if independent criminals gain access to what the biggest criminals have?
I want no criminals to have any access to this whatsoever.
Independent criminals will do more damage to an individual.
Well,
the government will tax you. The independent criminal will empty out your bank account because it caught the traffic and the login information midway.
Maybe. But I think once government attacks an individual, they can do far more damage than an individual hacker.
Understood. But the government isn't going to go after everybody, right? They're going to target people who are political dissidents.
Right.
Right, but a hacker
is going to target somebody with a weak password or somebody they can socially engineer or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Government goes after grandma plenty of the time.
I get it, but they're not emptying grandma's bank account overnight.
Do you know nothing about the IRS?
Again, if you're talking about taxes, they don't take 100%.
They kind of do, actually.
And they take like 30, 40%, 50% if you're in a higher tax bracket. They're not going into grandma's bank account and emptying it out.
No, they're threatening grandma to kidnap her if she doesn't empty out her own bank account for the next 30 years.
Understood. But that doesn't affect grandma on a day-to-day basis. If she wakes up the next morning...
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. If she wakes up the next morning and can't afford her medicines or food, that's far worse than the government...
And you think that doesn't happen when the IRS goes after them?
I don't think the IRS is going to go after everyone like a hacker will.
Oh, the IRS is incredibly indiscriminate. They go after the easiest ones to go after.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yes, they go after low-hanging fruit. And frequently, that is grandma. And no, they do not care if that means that grandma can't afford her medicine.
Right, but they don't do that. They're not going to hack into grandma's bank account and make it so she has no money for the next day.
No, of course not.
That's my point.
That's what a hacker will do. They're going to make sure that she's fully aware that if she has money for the next day, they will put her in jail.
Maybe. They don't do that to everybody.
Hacker will wipe you out.
Hackers don't do that to everybody.
Hacker will wipe you out. Government will just make you their slave.
And more people, it's more detrimental.
They're not that smart.
603-283-6160. More about this going on in the EU and more Free Talk Live is coming up.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Israeli forces are advancing further into Gaza amid the ongoing conflict with Hamas. Local health authorities in Gaza report intense bombing and the presence of military vehicles in close proximity to hospitals. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel has stated that his country does not aim to govern Gaza once the war concludes. Holiday spending is expected to reach record levels this year, with the National Retail Federation projecting November and December sales to reach $960 billion or more. The NRF credits this to the strong financial position of most American households, forecasting a growth rate of 3-4% compared to 2022. This aligns with the pre-pandemic average annual increase of 3.6%. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is $220 million, and you have until drawing time of 10:59 p.m. to play your lucky numbers. Good luck. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's the manual version of a drum roll.
Oh.
You're like, dun, dun, pa, dun, dun, pa, dun, pa, dun, dun, pa.
Okay, Jack Black.
Yeah. No, I'm not he. He is not I. We are not he.
Okay.
Yes.
Although, I was just thinking it was Wayne's World.
Party time. Excellent.
I just like that Jack Black is, you know, an average guitarist, so anything that he can't do with his instrument, he just does with his mouth.
He does, yeah. It's true. And he's got Kyle Gass to back him up, too, so, you
know. Great.
Yeah, they've got that going for him, which is
nice. Just goes to show, it's not about the leader, it's about the first follower.
It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. We're at the final segment already. This show has flown by. So if you want to get in, call now. Otherwise, forever hold your peace, or at least until tomorrow night. When we're
call twice if you think that'll seven. Work.
Don't know. We only take one call per night per caller.
No, I mean at the same time.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, okay.
You can if you think that'll work.
If we haven't taken your call, just grab another phone and dial again.
Wow. Really, really digging the ditch deep there, pal. Deep ditch pizza. Not deep dish. Deep ditch, right? It's when you order the Bob Marley special, but the blue and reds come out behind you, so you chuck the whole pizza out the window.
Do they pull it out of the oven with a shovel?
Oh, maybe they do. Interesting. At any rate, we've been talking about this article from last-chance-4-eidas.org. And it's talking about this secret EU law that threatens internet security by basically giving the government backdoor cryptographic keys to all browsers.
Worst kept secret ever.
The outcry across academia, civil society, and industry has over 500 cybersecurity experts and researchers who have signed an open letter calling for the EU to abandon these plans and safeguard the web. This is a little segment from that. After reading the near-final text, we are deeply concerned by the proposed text for Article 45. The current proposal radically expands the ability of governments to surveil both their own citizens and residents across the EU by providing them with technical means to intercept encrypted web traffic, as well as undermining the existing oversight mechanisms relied on by European citizens. We ask that you urgently reconsider this text and make clear that Article 45 will not interfere with trust decisions around the cryptographic keys and certificates used to secure web traffic. Civil society groups have also backed the letter, including the Internet Society, European Digital Rights, the EFF, Epicenter Works, and many more. Their calls have also been echoed by companies that help build and secure the Internet using the Linux Foundation, MOVAD, DNSO.eu, and Mozilla, who have put out their own statement. So this text is subject to approval of the final closed-door trilogue meeting in Brussels on November 8th, that apparently has already occurred, after which it will be published and presented for formal ratification in the European Parliament.
I hope the second letter is, even if you pass it, we will not comply.
Right. I mean...
Well, you should be in favor of this measure.
Why?
Well, consider your perspective on Twitter, for example. If you allow an absolute free speech, it will degenerate into the worst possible speech. So if the Internet is free speech, then by its nature it's going to degenerate into the worst possible speech. We should have a controlled platform so that it doesn't degenerate.
I think you're conflating. I don't think... the Internet is not necessarily a free speech platform as it is. Right.
No.
Okay. Can be?
No, I would definitely say that it is as much of a free speech platform as it is possible to have. The Internet?
Yes.
Yeah, any schmuck can put up, like, the worst possible website if they feel like it.
For now, and my fear has
right,
always...
Right, right, which means this should really be like, you know, yeah, I'm glad they're finally cleaning this up. That way we can have an Internet, because otherwise it will just degenerate.
Well, there's, again, I think you're conflating, right? People will leave Twitter, and if the Internet is overwhelmed with, like, you know, degeneracy that people cannot avoid, then yes, people will leave, right? Like, that's why there's already ad blockers. That's why you don't have, you know, pop-ups for porn sites anymore, because it wasn't serving the market.
Well, isn't this just another version of that?
But there are the hate platforms... Right, we'll soon find that they can't get hosting, right? They won't be able to buy a domain name, right? There's gatekeepers to the Internet all the way around, and I'm not suggesting that they should, but they absolutely could, and that would break it. That would break the Internet, but it would keep all those hate platforms off, and there will be people that will cheer for it because they don't want to see that.
All right, moving back into... We mentioned this during one of the other segments, so I want to get to it. It's from Zero Hedge. Seattle limits cops from knowingly lying after suspect commits suicide. So we know that cops are trained to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
They can lie to you with no repercussions. However, if you lie to them, you can be found in all sorts of trouble.
Yep.
The city of Seattle has implemented a new policy that prevents police officers from knowingly lying to influence suspects. Now, knowingly, that's a pretty big word, right? How do you prove knowingly lying, you know?
Yeah, this seems like the sort of thing that just makes it more and more important to have ignorant police.
So this comes up after incidents in 2018 and 2020 may have contributed to a suicide and incited chaos during the George Floyd protests, according to MyNorthwest.com. In the 2018 case, a suspect in Seattle automobile accident committed suicide after a Seattle police officer lied in a ruse, falsely telling the man's friend that a woman was in critical condition from the crash.
Oh, yeah.
You bastards. This is an excerpt. See if I can talk today.
So he was riddled with guilt, thinking that he had done some serious damage.
The man, who has since been identified as Porter Feller, had fled from the scene of a multi-vehicle accident in May of 2018. Two officers followed up at the home his car was registered to, telling his friend Maggie Parks that a victim in the hit-and-run was near death, despite the fact that there were no actual injuries reported from the crash. One of the officers remarked to his partner, "It's a lie, but it's fun."
Okay.
I mean, honestly, this sounds like the fundamental nature of government. So even though, say, driving over the speed limit did not harm anybody, you put everyone at risk, and that makes them victims.
Well, if it's a hit and run, I'm less sympathetic toward this guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You get what you know, them's the brakes, man. Don't hit and run.
But at the same time, double standard, right? If you, as the suspect, are not allowed, if you will, to lie to the law enforcement, then it stands to reason that there should be no double standard and they should not be allowed to lie to you.
I got it. But I would say that the running aspect of it, right, makes him an outlaw and not covered.
Yeah, I mean, in a free market, if you hit and run, I mean, your insurance company's canceling you. You're going to have a hard time getting insurance again, right? All that kind of thing.
But I also don't care about the repercussions.
And that's the thing. You can't have equality under the law and a monopoly on policing people.
Right.
Like, you can have one or the other.
Effective public safety requires community buy-in, and this new policy is an important step to build understanding with the public, demonstrating that for SPD operations to be successful, they must be paired with a commitment to unbiased constitutional policing. Oh, said Harrell in a statement. This innovative new policy will lead to better police work thanks to the voices of many, including the media, who brought attention to this tactic. Okay.
The fact that they are saying the lie that it is possible to have unbiased policing just depresses me.
Right.
Because obviously there's enough people out there that is not an obvious impossibility.
Right.
You can't have unbiased, well, really anything.
It's 2023. Do we really think that police lying to people is going to generate a net benefit to human society? I don't think so.
Well, how else do we catch the terrorists, Captain?
They are the terrorists.
Oh.
Peakless.
Oh, that.
I mean, if we're again, I'll bring it back to the prisoner's dilemma, right? If they lie to get someone to admit something that they wouldn't have otherwise,
mm-hmm.
and that person admits to a crime that they wouldn't have admitted to, and then you can take a violent criminal off the street, I could see a benefit.
It's a lot of
ifs. Yeah, actually, I mean, every violation of morality has a benefit.
Okay.
Yeah, stealing has an immediate benefit.
Well, but this is an example of where lying to a suspect to coerce a confession.
Let me run
a counter justice.
Let me run a counterfactual to you here.
Okay.
What if, now open your mind real wide, we had police that we could trust.
Why did your mom's legs go? What's that?
Well, it's too late. You missed it.
All right, I missed it.
What if we had police that we could trust?
They wouldn't be provided by government.
Well, right. But, I mean, that's the trade-off here. So, yeah, sure. You might catch that one person at that one thing, and then they admitted it instead of you having to prove that they did it.
Yep.
Or you could make a policy of not lying to people because you are putting yourself as a moral pinnacle.
This article is very reminiscent of the article we covered, was it last week or the week before, about the Denver, Colorado Police Department forming their FAST network.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out if they have a bunch of focused people responding to shootings within 48 hours of them happening, that they solve more crime. Who knew?
Yeah.
But now they're touting this in Denver as like, oh, we're innovative and we're the first. It's like, oh, to do your jobs? That's what this article is pointing out.
Actually track the number of non-fatal shootings.
Right.
It never occurred to any police station to track the number of non-fatal shootings.
So back to this article, according to Seattle PD Chief Adrian Diaz, the policy is the first of its kind in the U.S. and continues Seattle Police Department's long tradition of public safety innovation rooted in accountability and a commitment to building public confidence. I have to laugh at this because Seattle PD is not known for any of this.
No.
Well, now things will change.
None of these words is it known for, nor has it ever been. And despite their best PR people, I don't think it ever will be. Seattle PD has a long tradition of, well, basically beating the crap out of people for no reason, starting riots, framing people, etc., and so on. And that's just...
So you don't want them to institute this policy regardless of its effectiveness?
Well, number one, it's not going to happen.
How do I hold them
accountable? So it doesn't matter.
Well,
right.
It would be after the fact, right? If after the fact it comes to light that they lied to a suspect and caused harm, then now they can be held liable.
My point is that none of this should have been allowed in the first frickin' place, and the fact that it's taken until 2023 for just even these words to come out in a print article, right, well, shows you all you need to know about how nefarious any statist organization is.
Small victories, man. You gotta be happy about this one.
This is hopium.
This is a
fake victory. Like, don't get me wrong. Would it be an improvement any time that even a single police force is encouraged to stop making up nonsense
and purveying it
to people? Sure. But, number one, I don't think that's going to actually happen. Number two, there's no accountability if it doesn't happen.
No, the accountability is after the fact. Someone has to have standing to bring a case.
I'm sure that they will investigate themselves and find that there was no wrongdoing.
As they want to do.
I mean, they brought this one to light in the media because they found wrongdoing and are now implementing a policy change for the better.
And I'm sure it'll totally happen.
I'm not saying it will, but this is like step one.
What this
if
is,
you don't have step one, nothing. No,
step
step one is to
tell you that we're making improvements that we're not making.
This is the classic Hegelian dialectic: problem, reaction, solution. Seattle police have created the problem. Now they're masquerading as the solution to the problem by putting forth placating words because they don't want the public to erupt after this person committed suicide.
Yeah. Okay. Like, you and I are arguing over whether or not there's a crutch, but they broke your leg in the first place.
I got it.
And they are offering what may or may not be a crutch.
I got it. But if they don't give me the crutch, I can't walk. If they give me the crutch, at least I can limp along.
You poor bastard. You poor limping bastard, sir. I sit corrected.
So if the policy doesn't get implemented, they continue to lie. We know it. The general public probably has a good idea.
Yeah.
Right. If they implement the policy and don't follow it, then more articles like this will come out like, "Hey, you guys said you were gonna."
We hope.
And then you didn't. But if they're creating the problem and offering the solution, and you don't like the solution, right? I'm not saying you have to offer one. But what would be the solution? If it's going to be public outcry...
Well, the solution is, as always, competition.
Right.
You're not going to get competition.
You can, well, actually.
The government
can. You definitely can.
The government suppresses all competition
in
these matters.
Yes, it does.
Stop giving
them your money.
Okay. I mean,
quit giving your money to the financial institutions and the tax man.
That's a great platitude, but again, doesn't really impact the average American citizen.
All right, so no segue here, just moving on to the next article. This is from the Free Thought Project. Liberty activist indicted, facing years in prison after entirely legal Facebook posts criticizing government. You guys are already familiar with this. This is a follow-up article. Constitutional activist Joshua Martinez is being persecuted over what appears to be legal memes and unsubstantiated charges. In 2017, the Free Thought Project brought you a story about constitutional activist Josh Martinez when he was arrested for refusing to give his age to police on the Nevada courthouse steps. He was attempting to enter the Lloyd D. George Federal Courthouse without having to identify himself. Since then, Martinez has fought a series of battles for his freedom, going up against clearly false charges as he fights for the freedom of others. Now he's battling what appears to be yet another set of bogus charges. This time, however, the stakes appear to be much higher. He was indicted this week on what some are saying are trumped-up and retaliatory charges. In February, Martinez, age 32, was arrested after he made Facebook posts that are entirely legal. To be clear, Martinez's posts were in poor taste. However, they were completely legal. Earlier this year, Martinez posted a Facebook photo of a flag-draped coffin carried by uniformed officers with the caption, How police officers take out their trash.
Nice.
Above the photo, Martinez said, I can't wait to see the news and hear that Detective Kenneth Meade is in that casket.
Is that a real person?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably, one of the prosecutors or lead detective who's, you know, trumping up these charges and, you know, going after this guy repeatedly.
All right.
Showing how ridiculous the charges are, that post didn't even violate Facebook's own terms of service and was allowed to stay up on Facebook. And they show a little picture of that here. In another post, Martinez posted a photo of Dickerson with the statement, this is Michael Dickerson. He is Detective Kenneth Meade's bitch. Dickerson, I hope you and Meade die a slow and painful death. Meade, I have a message for you. Molan Lab.
Labe.
Labe.
Labe. Mogan Labe. Molan. Means come and take it.
That's
it was the about. Spartan response anyway.
Again, though this post was distasteful, it was entirely legal. One only needs scroll through Twitter or Facebook for a few seconds to find millions upon millions of similar posts about Trump, Biden, cops, judges, local politicians, and individuals whose politics draw them the ire of the political foes. According to the criminal complaint against Martinez, which apparently justified $1 million bond,
wow,
Martinez threatened Meade with the intent that Meade be, quote, placed in reasonable fear of death or substantial bodily harm, unquote.
No, no. I hope you die is different than I'm going to kill you.
Right. We've covered this a couple of times here on Free Talk Live, but happy to talk about it again. We spoke to a source close to Martinez this week, and they tell us that the reason Meade felt he was in fear was that Martinez called him. Oh, my gosh. To be clear, Martinez was not stalking Meade. He was merely trying to get back his property from the aforementioned arrest in 2017.
So he called him as a member of the public, not as an individual citizen.
According to policy,
if you're bothering the cop at his home, it's different than calling him at work asking about a case.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to make this clear before you take that thought any further. According to policy, and we've seen this happen here with the raids here and, like, other people who've done activism where they get raided or stuff taken away by the police. According to policy, if you need to get back your property, you can contact the officer who seized the property, and Meade was the officer who seized Martinez's property.
No caveats?
No caveats.
All right.
The idea that these posts or phone calls placed him in reasonable fear is laughable. Literally every single day, the Free Thought Project gets hate mail and death threats directed at our employees and even their families and children, and no one is ever placed in reasonable fear because of them. We've had the same thing happen here, where we had a chronic caller threatening one of our hosts.
Well, Mark felt it was reasonable fear, which
absolutely
is why he reached out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing was done, of course, because, well, you know, we're not the state.
Right.
And they could give a crap about what happens to us.
They look after their own and nobody else.
The emails directly threaten our families, claiming they will murder, rape, etc. If you're reading this now, you can probably even scroll down to the comments and find a threat below. We don't even report them, as some PO'd a-hole ranting on the internet does not justify reasonable fear.
Yep.
You know, I mean, maybe in your mind, right? Maybe you want to, like, let's make sure I got the Glock dialed in, right? You
know? I mean, that's just good safety protocols.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. OPSEC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Nevertheless, Martinez is facing a lot of time behind bars because of it. He was facing 4 felony charges: aggravated stalking, challenge to fight with use of a deadly weapon, stalking with the use of internet or electronic communication, and possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. He also faces 2 misdemeanor harassment charges. On Wednesday, however, the feds upped the ante and charged Martinez with 2 felony counts of possession of a firearm and 2 counts of a felon in possession of ammunition.
It's almost good that he's getting charged because, again, that gives him standing to countersue, right, and sue for, like, malicious prosecution and get some money out of it.
I can't ever say that it's good for somebody to be attacked by the state.
Well, sometimes they pass. Whenever they pass
a
bad law,
but as far as him mounting a defense, it's certainly not against him.
The problem with the system is whenever they pass a bad law, you can't challenge it until you're affected by it.
That's not true in New Hampshire.
Okay.
No, it was one of the amendments that we made to the state constitution right after I got here.
Okay.
Is that since it is paid for with taxpayer money, everyone has standing? A stake. Yeah, okay. Everyone has standing.
All right. Yeah. Well, good for New Hampshire, but this is a federal thing, and you got to have standing.
Well, again, if you're in New Hampshire, you have standing.
In federal court?
Yeah.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
James Freeman, a friend of Martinez, expressed his opinion on what is unfolding in this case, and it's nothing short of corrupt and infuriating. These are charges put on Joshua Martinez for making Facebook posts that Detective Kenneth Mead with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department just didn't like. The posts were, in my personal opinion, distasteful, but there was no harassment or threats. The posts used by Joshua were used by him to express to his friends how much he dislikes Kenneth Mead, after Kenneth Mead spent years terrorizing Joshua and his family. Kenneth Mead is part of the anti-terrorism task force in Las Vegas. He has made zero progress on the Vegas shooting case, but has spent thousands of hours and hundreds of thousands in resources terrorizing Joshua because he believes in the Constitution of the U.S. Kenneth Mead's violent actions against innocent civilians are terroristic. That's from a friend of his. That's his friend's opinion of Kenneth Mead.
See, again, the victim in this is going to make out like a bandit when all of this is, like, adjudicated at some point.
Well,
okay. If it ever gets adjudicated.
Sure. And the benefit to that is if they drop it, then he might have a civil suit for, again, malicious prosecution.
Yeah, but either way, let's say he wins a bunch of money, the taxpayers still lose because it's not coming out of the cop's salary. It's not coming out of the cop's budget.
Well, then take Peekless' advice and just stop paying them.
That doesn't diminish where the winnings are coming from.
Well, if enough people stop giving their productive power to the financial institutions that have been stealing from them this whole time, then they will lose the ability to continue to abuse us.
We are out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich, for joining me. Thank you, Peakless Mountaineer. Thanks to all of our listeners and, of course, our callers for joining us on this Saturday night edition. If you missed any part of the show, you can find the archives over at freetalklive.com. And feel free to join us tomorrow night. I'll be back with a couple other folks for the Sunday night edition. Thanks and peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.